Our Old Testament scripture reading this morning is from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. My child, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away your crooked speech and put devious talk away from you. Let your eyes look directly toward forward and your gaze be straight before you. Keep straight the path of your feet and all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Our New Testament reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much for the reading. At the beginning of a new year, we all have excitement because we can start all over again. We have new dreams, new goals. But the reality, when I speak to a lot of people, especially during this time of the year, there are two things that I experience in the hearts of people, and those two things are actually mentioned for us in the verse there, in verse 3. People grow weary and they become faint-hearted. They lose heart. People become so discouraged because we heard about so many flights that have been cancelled. My son just heard the school is not starting the 4th but the 10th. He's happy, but he shows us COVID still has an impact on our lives. And the Junior World Hockey Tournament has just been cancelled as well. And many people feel, but how long? How long do we still need to continue with this? And it's interesting when you read the Bible, you get more than 50 times where the authors of the Bible cry out to God, how long? Because it is so easy to become discouraged and to lose heart. It doesn't take much to discourage people. And God doesn't want us to be discouraged, especially here in the beginning of the year. And as I say, when you read the Bible, the Bible says, how long? And I'm also asking, how long? Because next year we want to have Christmas without the mask, but we don't know. It's so unpredictable. People are discouraged. People lose heart. People are faint-hearted. Now the question is, how can we take care of ourselves when we feel faint-hearted, when we feel that we are growing weary? What is necessary? Interesting, when you read the Message translation of Hebrews chapter 12, and that was written by Eugene Peterson, he was a Presbyterian minister as well. And he said in Hebrews 12 verse 3, when he translates grow weary and faint-hearted, he translates it in the following. He said, let us get adrenaline shooting into our souls. I like the way he puts it. What do we need for our soul when we feel we are losing heart? We need adrenaline for our soul. And this is why I got my theme from the Message translation of Hebrews chapter 12. We need adrenaline for our soul. And what does adrenaline do? When I think of adrenaline, I think of energy, enthusiasm, and lots of direction and a zest for life. And this is what we need. God doesn't want us to enter this year to grow weary and to feel faint-hearted, like verse 3 is saying. Jean Peterson says, we need adrenaline shooting into our soul. Now, how does that happen? Because we know that the soul, according to the Bible, is the invisible you. You cannot see the soul. It's invisible. But it is life. According to the Bible, the soul is life. The life in you that you cannot see. So how can you inject adrenaline into something you cannot see? Well, the answer for us is in verse 2. Verse 2 of Hebrews 12 says, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. We need to fix our gaze on Jesus. But before I want to unpack what that means, I just need to tell you that for the Bible, the eye is very important. You get almost 600 times a reference to the eye in the Bible. It is a very important theme in the Bible, the eye. Even Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount referred to the eye. Jesus spoke about money and all of a sudden he said, if the eye is good, the whole body is good. If the eye is bad, the whole body is bad. So what does that mean? Well, when you go to the original text, it actually says when the eye is good, it means generous. The whole body is good. And when the eye is bad, it actually means greedy, then the whole body is bad. And you see it, when people are greedy, they're not happy, they want more and more and more. This is why the Bible says that we need to learn to be content. And we need to be generous with the eye when we see things. Where can we make a difference in the world? And even Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, the eye is the lamp of the body. The eye is for me the most fascinating body part. You know, with the ear you can hear from afar. With your nose you can smell something from a distance. But the eye is the only body part that can estimate distance. You can see the moon, the stars, million light years away, the galaxies. But you can also see a few inches from you. The eye is just fascinating how the iris is working and that you can also see color. It is actually a miracle. The eye is fascinating. And that is why the Bible is saying that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, because when that happens, adrenaline will shoot into our souls. But I will explain exactly what that means. But just to know, the eye is very important. Even Shakespeare said that the eye is the window to the soul. And I think that's brilliant said. The eye is the window to the soul. Because when you see someone in love, you can see it in their eyes. When you see someone is grieving, you can see it in the eyes. Because the eye is the window of the soul. The eye is visible and it reflects the invisible you, what is going on in your hearts. Just imagine, maybe you've experienced it as parents or grandparents, some cookies are missing in the kitchen, and then you ask all the kids to come, and then you will say, look me in the eye. Because you know that the eye reflects what is going on inside, because the eyes cannot really lie. The eye is the window of the soul. Therefore, the Bible is saying, fix your eyes on Jesus. That's the window of the soul. Now, what does that mean? When the Bible says, fix your eye, which is the window of the soul, the lamp of the body, on Jesus. I think it's important to know that there are two ways that we can look at things. There's the physical way you can look at things. I see people. I go home today. I see the mountains, orchards, the lake. You can see things with the naked eye. But there's another way you can see things. According to the Bible, you can see things in an imaginary way. Like, for example, before Christmas, many people told me, I'm looking forward to Christmas. It's an imaginary way. I'm looking forward because they had a picture in their mind. Grandkids, turkey, gifts, nice vibe, family. So we can use the I in an imaginary way. It reminds me of the inauguration of Disney World. 1971 was the inauguration of Disney World. And Walt Disney had passed in 1966, 55 years ago. And he wasn't there. And then at the inauguration, an important journalist, a well-known journalist, was sitting beside Walt Disney's wife. And then he leaned over to her and he said, it is so sad that Walt couldn't see this. And then she turned to him and she said, he did see it. Because he saw it with his imagination. He saw it with his imaginary eyes. And that had shoot adrenaline in the life of Walt Disney. Excited, full of enthusiasm, never gave up on his plans. So when you use the eye in an imaginary way, it is like to have vision. You know, a church needs to have vision. And what do we see for the future? Businesses have vision. What does vision do? It unites and it creates energy. And this is the power of fixing your eyes on Jesus. Helen Keller was asked one day, and she was blind and deaf, what is worse than blindness? Then she said, someone with sight and no vision. Someone with sight and no vision. So we see the eye is so important. And now when the Bible says to fix your eyes on Jesus, means to look at Jesus in an imaginary way. I cannot see Jesus physically. I just cannot. He's not here in a physical way. But I can use my eyes of imagination and I can fix my gaze on Jesus. When you look at verse 2, it also says, consider him. Use your mind. Use your eyes. And when I close my eyes and I look at Jesus, then I see someone who had always had time for people. Never minded to be interrupted. Jesus had the two A's that my dad always said that you need to have. You need to be available and approachable. Jesus was always available and always approachable. When I look at Jesus, I saw someone who had the courage to tell church people you're a brood of vipers. Because you stand in the way of the grace of God. Jesus had courage. And that inspires me when I see that in my eyes of imagination. Jesus mingled with the people that the church people did not want to mingle. He associated with him in such a way that they said, he's a drunkard. Jesus identified himself with every human being. And I've been here probably 6-7 times, and I heard something every single time from Emery's sermons, which is great. Jesus Christ is turning nobodies into somebody. And when I use my eyes of imagination, I saw it so many times where Jesus touched the lives of people, turning nobodies into somebodies, telling the disciples, let the children come to me. For you they are nobody. But for me, if you don't become like them, you will never enter the kingdom. Jesus was just amazing. I have heard many people say bad things about church and Christians. But I never ever heard people say anything bad about Jesus. Never. Just imagine that. Jesus only had a 3-year ministry, public ministry. He never walked more than 300 kilometers from his birthplace. He never wrote a book. He never had possessions. But still, people are talking after 200 years about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus had eyes for people. And now Jesus, the Bible is saying, fix your eyes on Jesus. And when I fix my eyes on Jesus, I see compassion. I see unmerited favor for me. I hear the cry of Jesus in the eyes of imagination on Golgotha. My God, why have you forsaken me? So that we in the 21st century can cry out, my God, why have you remembered me? Grace, when you sit in the eyes of Jesus, will move you and will melt you. And when you look to the eyes of Jesus, that's the window to the heart of God. You see this amazing love of a Savior, of God, who says, go into the world and show the people they are somebody. Every single human being matters. And when you look in the eyes of Jesus, it will move and melt you to look to other people in the same way. You heard on the news last week, a well-known world figure who was born in South Africa died, Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And when you read about the life of Archbishop Desmond Tutu, in his own words, he said there was a defining moment in his life. And that defining moment in his life was in the 30s, when he was a little boy, and he walked one afternoon with his mum in the township west of Johannesburg. And there came a white man from Britain, a priest, Trevor Huddleston, and he passed them by them, and he took off his hat. He looked at them, and he smiled. It was the turning point in the life of Desmond Tutu and his mum, Alet. But what's so remarkable about it? Context. If you were in the 30s in South Africa, I was not born then, you need to understand the context. In the township where the black people lived, only the government and police will show up. And they will not show up with a lot of grace. But here is Huddleston, Trevor Huddleston from England, living there. And he looked them in the eye. And what did Desmond Tutu see? He saw Christ in Trevor Huddleston. Because Christ in us is the hope of glory. And that changed Desmond Tutu and his mom completely. Trevor Huddleston became a friend of the family, inspired Tutu to become a priest. And the rest is history. In 1984, he got the Nobel Peace Prize. And he died last week at the age of 90. But just to give you a little bit more context of how profound that event in the 30s, west of Johannesburg in a township was, I want to take you to the 70s and 80s, many years later when I grew up in South Africa, when sin becomes systemic and you don't even realize it. I grew up in a manse. My dad was a minister. And all the manses were beside the church building. And all the churches there had a garden boy, which was not white. So I never mowed the lawn. It was not, you know, it's not my job. So our garden boy, who took care of the church property as well as our house, he was a brown person. He was in his 60s. I called him Adam. And many years later, I realized when there was a white person in his 60s, I would call him Mister. But for him, Adam. I didn't have a racist bone in me, but that is what systemic sin can do. You do things without realizing that it is not good. When he would get in the car with my dad, he would be in the back seat, not on the passenger seat. So just imagine 40 years earlier when Trevor Huddleston looked them in the eye, took his hat off. A sign of respect. 2014, I visited South Africa and my son and my family went with me. My daughters, my son was 9. He was born in Canada, doesn't know systemic racism. And we went to a big festival art festival and music, and there were street people, and I started to talk to some of the brown people selling stuff. They are poor, so you help them, you buy this stuff. And my son called an adult brown person, sir. And you could see his face brighten up, because it doesn't happen, that respect. He looked him in the eye. My son said, sir. Because my son didn't understand systemic racism. And that shoot adrenaline in the soul of that person. Because the way you look at people will also be the way that you will talk to them. You drive maybe in the city, you do something wrong, and someone passed you by and they gave you the look. And you see what is going on in their heart when they give you the look. So my challenge for myself this year, I don't have New Year's resolutions, but I just want to have less screen time and more FaceTime. Because the problem of our society is not so much the pandemic. There's another pandemic. It was actually there before the COVID. COVID just made it worse. And that's a pandemic that Mother Teresa well described. She said, we put all our effort into shatter loneliness. Loneliness is the pandemic of our society. We are so connected with internet, but we are actually disconnected. Screen time is not social media. It is anti-social media. We need FaceTime. When you phone someone, use your imagination that you look that person in the eye. I promise you, when you phone someone and you're busy with your phone, they realize it. They don't see your phone, but they realize it. Let us have FaceTime and look people in the eyes. Because when you look someone in the eye, you say, your life matters, I respect you, and I'm going to give you my most precious that I can never get back. That is my time. I'm going to give you my respect, and I'm going to give you my time. The pandemic will pass by, but loneliness is the cancer of our society. Be a friend. Have the eyes of Jesus. Look people in the face. I'm going to challenge myself this year, when I visit with someone, to put my phone in my pocket. Because when you put it on the table, and a text message comes in, that sound releases dopamine. And you want to check. So you tell the person that you have coffee with, this is more important now. Distraction. Jesus was brilliant with his eyes. Let us be like Jesus and have the eyes of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you that we can shoot adrenaline in the souls of people, not through magic, but through our eyes, to look people in the eyes, so that they can see through our eyes the window of your love, because Christ in us is indeed the hope of glory. We thank you for that. Amen. Before we go into sing our song before the communion, communion is actually a picture that God has given to us. God has given us two pictures, baptism and communion. What I hear in a message, I see, taste, smell, and see in communion. Communion is visible gospel. What I hear, I see in the wine, the bread, I smell it, I taste it. And so that with all our senses, God is telling you, you have been redeemed. When He cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that we can say, my God, why have you remembered me? The amazing grace. When you read the chapter 11 of Hebrews, you will realize that faith is to believe what you cannot see. And the reward of that faith is to see what you believe. My challenge to you is, what are you seeing for your own congregation? I think it is time for you to see a church that is packed with people. I've been in Kelowna for 4 months. And I can tell you, I've listened to many sermons, but your minister has a gift. He understands the gospel. He has a way to convey it to people, to inspire, to shoot adrenaline in their soul. But our responsibility is to bring the people. I have the courage to bring people here because I know they will get good food and they will come back. Do you see this for the end of 2022? The people of Kelowna deserve the message of your minister. You need to invite them. I've invited a friend now for several times because I feel I can do it for the food they are getting here. Wherever you are, God has placed you. And where you are, just realize that God face shines upon you to give you peace. And wherever you go, God wants you to have face time with people so that they can see through your eyes the window of God's amazing grace. That they can see Christ in you through your brokenness. And Christ is that hope of glory. I'm going to challenge you and I'm going to challenge myself. We need to bring people because people are hungry. We cannot see people dying spiritually in this city. You need to bring them. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the amazing love of our Father and the fellowship of God's Spirit be with you. Amen.